He does love us. You realize that? He loves us. It is only because of His love that He stayed on the cross. Because of His grace, because of His mercy, but ultimately because of His love. And you have to realize that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one who created it all. It is through Christ that all holds together. We're told that in Scripture. And the very moment that Jesus could have said, "I've had enough," He could have immediately come down off the cross and everything would have gone away. But He stayed because He loves us. In preparing for Easter, our church, we've been going through famous last words of Christ. And we've looked at those words such as, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We've looked at, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." In this world, you will have tribulation. This is what we looked at last week. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And today, Easter Day, we're going to look at one more famous last words of Jesus Christ. You realize that today there are thousands upon thousands of people attending churches. I just did some research and they said that Google searches for churches go up 60% right before Easter. People are going, "Well, it's Easter. Got to go to church." I kind of shared with John and a couple of people. I went to Google this morning and it's amazing. Guess what's on Google's front page? Google. There's absolutely no indication that today is Easter. But there are people who are showing up in churches, and today they will once again reject Christ. They will reject the preaching. They will reject the church. And they may not openly do it. They may not walk out of the doors and go, "I reject that." But they'll do it with their very lives. They'll just walk away. They're going to reject it. Some of those thousands, a few of those thousands, may be sitting right here, right now. And you'll walk away and you'll just reject the gospel. Matter of fact, you will fall in line with someone that we're going to look at today who at first said, "Unless Christ does exactly what I want him to do, I will never believe. I will never believe." Let me set the scene for you. And I already did a little bit of this. Jesus Christ was crucified. Did I lose? Okay. Jesus Christ was crucified on a Friday. And I often say this, on Saturday, he showed us once again that on the Sabbath day, you rest. And that's what he was doing, resting. But then on Sunday, he rose from the dead. And here you have disciples and Mary and Mary Magdalene and Mary, who's the mother of another disciple. They're all running back and forth to the tomb, and you're hearing these reports. Jesus isn't there. And again, I just want to remind you that none of them were expecting him to rise from the dead. All of their ideas were that he would still be there. They went to go prepare the body. They went there to see him in the tomb. And when they didn't see him, they didn't say, "Hey, where did he get up and go?" They accuse people. "Did you carry him off?" They are asking those questions. "Where did you lay him?" That's what you do with dead people. You lay them somewhere. So they're not thinking even for a moment that he has risen from the dead. There is a ton of confusion. They don't know what to believe. And I want to encourage you the way I am encouraged many times when I look at people in the Bible. They're just like us. Man, they didn't think that he would be alive. And so they're looking at this and they're going, "What in the world is going on? I'm confused. I don't know. And today, again, we're going to look at Thomas, who clearly states, "I will never believe. I will never believe unless Jesus meets my demands." So this morning we're going to read in John chapter 20. So if you were already there, we're going to continue with that, about Jesus' encounter with Thomas. And please note that I said it that way for a specific reason. It wasn't just Thomas' encounter with Jesus, but it's Jesus' encounter with Thomas. So I'm going to read to you John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, but I want to pray over the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you that you have given it to us, that we hold it in our hand. Thank you for not only giving it to us, but preserving it for all of these years, so that today we have an accurate account of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, today I pray that we would honor you by the reading of your Word, by the preaching of your Word, by the listening of your Word, by the application of your Word. Lord, I pray that your Word will change hearts and minds this morning. I pray that not only for Summer Creek Baptist Church, but for all of the churches that are meeting, and these thousands of folks who are pouring in because it's Easter Sunday. Lord, I pray that some of them will not leave those church services the same. They will be different because they have had an encounter with you because you came to them. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor God's Word? Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Would you please be seated? Well, Jesus didn't wait long. He has risen from the dead, and we didn't read this passage, but if you go back to verse 19, you'll see that Jesus appears on Sunday after his resurrection. He appears to the disciples. There's just one problem. There's only 10 of them rather than 11. Of course, you know that Judas was no longer there. Thomas is absent. And he appears to them, and it's only been less than 24 hours since Jesus has risen from the dead. See, you might want to be in church on Sundays, because Jesus does incredible things on Sundays. He rises from the dead, and he shows up. So we see on the evening of that day, the first day of the week. Now, you and I, we call Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They did not have names for the days. They based everything off of the Sabbath. So you'll see the day before the Sabbath, or the day after the Sabbath, or the first day of the week, which was the Sabbath day, was the last day of the week. Everything was based off of the Sabbath. And what you will see here is that he shows up, he shows himself to the apostles, and they believe. Well, it's a week later. Now, if you look in your Bible, it says, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with him when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him." And that's when he says, "I will never believe." But then you see it says 8 days later. Now, some people would say, well, that's Monday, but the Jewish tradition is you counted the day you were on as well. So 8 days would be the next Sunday. I'm telling you, don't miss Sundays. Well, the disciples don't keep this event to themselves. They tell him. He was here. If you remember a couple of weeks back, we were looking at when Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And the word that he uses, horao, means that if you have seen him, if you understand, if you comprehend, then you can understand and comprehend the Father. So if you can understand and comprehend Jesus, which is what he was telling them, you have seen or understand and comprehend the Father. But what Thomas says here is a different word. It is eido. And what he is making very clear in this conversation is when they say, we've seen him, he comes back and he doesn't use the same Greek word, and he is telling them, unless I physically see him. There is no discretion about what he is saying. It's not about understanding. He's saying, I want to physically see Christ. And if I don't, I will not believe. Matter of fact, that's not even enough. You realize that. It's not even enough that I see him. What else does he say? I want to see the wounds. I want to put my fingers in the wounds. I want to see his side where the spear was stuck, and I want to stick my hand in that wound. It's not even enough for me to just see him. I want to do these things. And if I don't get to do these things, I'm never going to believe. And here's the first thing that I want you to see, because this is amazing. God is gracious even with our disbelief. You know, Jesus could have said, what? Forget that. I'm not doing that. But he is gracious even in our disbelief. And you may say, well, it's not disbelief, it's doubting. I mean, he's doubting Thomas. It's hard to even as I was thinking about how I was going to preach this, it's hard to say Thomas's name without putting doubting Thomas in front of it. But I'm going to tell you, Thomas wasn't a doubter. He was a disbeliever. A doubter is someone who says, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's a doubter. Matter of fact, if you're a doubter, what you're willing to do is say, you know, I don't know, but I'm willing to go find out. That's doubting. I don't know. Let me see. Let me see. Matter of fact, there was a guy who did that. Lee Strobel. He was a writer for the Chicago Tribune. He was an editor, and he was like, I don't know. And so you know what he did? He investigated, and he investigated, and he investigated. And you know Lee Strobel as a devout believer. He was a guy who doubted. That is not Thomas. Thomas was a disbeliever. My point about disbelief is that Thomas said, I will not believe. That's not doubt. That is determined disbelief. He is nothing like the Father who brought, you remember, he brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus, and he says, would you heal him? And Jesus says, do you believe I can do it? And he says, I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. I'm struggling here. I don't know. Thomas is saying, I will not believe unless I get my way here. Jesus has to come to me and meet my demands. And then, if he does what I want him to do, then I'll change my mind. You know what's amazing? What's sad on Easter Sunday is there are many who are in church on Easter Sunday, and they're more concerned with keeping peace in the home than being at peace with the Lord. Oh, I'll show up and I'll keep peace. I mean, my mom's making me go. Or my dad's making me go. Or my brother or sister, you know, I'll go and I'll endure an hour and a half because that will keep peace. But what Jesus offers is peace with God. So I want to just encourage you with a couple of things. First of all, If you're here this morning and you're going, I don't believe this stuff, here's what I'm going to say. First of all, come back. Come back. Because you realize that Jesus is showing up on Sundays. And guess what? Thomas, even though he didn't believe, guess where he is a week later? With believers. He's with them. He didn't just say, well, y'all believe and I don't believe, so I'm out of here. The believer said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you that we've seen him. And the next week, he's still with them. He's still with them. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me. Unbelievers benefit from us continuing to proclaim the truth. How will they hear if we don't tell them? Even though he didn't believe, he was there with them. I want you to know, if you don't believe today, I have been praying for you. I've been praying for you all week. I've been praying for you to be here, and I've been praying that Jesus will introduce himself to you. Because hear me on this. God himself has to make himself known. It is not going to be just because of the testimony of me, just like it wasn't just because of the testimony of the disciples. Jesus Christ has to show up. So what will it be? What will it take? If you don't know Christ, I wonder, what are you thinking? It would take this for me to believe. Have you thought about that? This is what it would take for me to turn around. This is what it would take for me to believe. And I want to challenge you. You may think that you know what it would take to convince you, but my friend, don't be shocked when you're wrong. Oh, no, Paul. Look, Thomas said this is what it's going to take for him to believe, and I'm telling you, this is what it would take for me. I would have to see some kind of miracle, some great miracle. Well, what's interesting, which you may not know, is that Thomas, just within the last 2 weeks of this event, he had just seen Jesus raise someone from the dead. Do you realize that? He was there when Lazarus was raised. So he had seen a man in the tomb for 4 days, and he saw Jesus come out there and say, "Come on out." And even with that, that did not convince him. So you may say, oh, I have this grand idea that I would need to see this. I would have to experience this before I would believe. And let me tell you something. Don't be shocked when what you're thinking is completely wrong. I also want you to know this, if you don't believe. It is okay to seek proof. And some of you are going, wait. No, Paul. We are a faith. We don't do proofs. You can't prove that Jesus rose from the dead. We are a faith. Well, first of all, you need to be aware that in Acts chapter 1, it says this, that he, Jesus, presented himself alive to them after his sufferings for many proofs that he was alive. He proved to them, I am alive. And I want you to know, I don't stand up here just because I have some blind faith. In many ways, I have walked the path that Lee Strobel walked. There was a time when I was going, I don't know if I believe this. I still remember the day that I told my dad, I don't know if I believe all of this. I don't know. I grew up in church. I was there every Sunday. I was in the youth group. I went on all the trips. I did all the youth camps. But there was a point in my college life that I said, I just don't know. So I started to investigate. I started to think about it. I started to look, is this true? What would it take for me to go back to a devout believer? What would it take? And some of you, that's what happened. You grew up in church. You've heard the name Jesus. You've heard this story before. You know what Christmas is about. And you know what Easter is about. You have some ideas about the Bible. You know about the Ten Commandments. You know about the Great Flood. You know all of those things. But what would it take? And I'm here to tell you, it takes the exact same thing that happened to Thomas, and it will happen to you if you are a believer. I want you to know that he calls people to himself the exact same way today. Do you realize there is a pattern going on here, right? Matter of fact, if you still got your Bibles open, go back to, and I intentionally didn't read this to you first, go back to verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were. So we know that the doors were locked, okay? They were in fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them, so there was locked doors. Jesus shows up. And he says this, peace be with you. So we know exactly what he said. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So you got that? We know where the disciples were. They were behind a locked door. We know that Jesus shows up. We know that he says, peace be with you. And we know that he shows them his hands and his side. We know all of those things. Now go back down to verse 26, 8 days later, the disciples were inside again. And although the doors were locked, here they were behind locked door again. Jesus came and stood among them. He shows himself up right there with them. And he says what? Peace be with you. Says the exact same thing. And then what? Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. He shows them the wounds again. The exact same thing that happened with the 10 disciples now happens again with the 11 disciples. And I want you to know this. That's what he does with us as well. That's exactly what he does. He shows up and he says, do you want to be at peace between the Father and you? Do you want peace? Peace be with you. And let me tell you something. Let me remind you of the sacrifice that I have made for you. That's exactly what happens. He does it every single time. Jesus reveals himself. He offers peace between you and God. And you, opens your heart to the sacrifice that he's made. And then when we see Christ, what do we say? My Lord and my God. The exact same thing today. That's what faith is. Well, Paul, I don't know all of the Bible, and I don't know all these stories, and I don't know this, and I don't know that. Let me tell you something. When you come to know Christ, Christianity is this. It is seeing Christ and saying, my Lord and my God. That's Christianity. Oh no, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take God to move heaven and earth. Let me tell you something. He already did that. He already did it. And I want you to see something that maybe you're not catching here. What did Thomas say? I have to see these things. I have to put my finger in his hands. I have to put my hand in his side. And guess what? Let's go back and read the passage. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas then put his finger. Wait a minute. It doesn't say he did any of those things. He saw him. And all of a sudden his demands went away. My Lord and my God. He had it all lined up, what Jesus was going to have to do for him to believe. Jesus shows up. Peace be with you. Let me show you what I've done. My Lord, my God, all the demands fall away. Same thing happens today. You may think that you have all these demands lined up, that God's going to have to jump through all these hoops. And let me tell you something. If Jesus shows up and introduces himself, all those demands fall away. My Lord, my God. But he got to see him. But he got to see him. We don't get to see him. Right. And Jesus covers that. Have you believed because you have seen me? And here are the famous last words. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Let's just be clear about this. Christians are blessed people. Did you hear me? Christians are blessed people. And I want you to understand what I mean and what Jesus means when he says that we are blessed people. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe anyway. He's not talking about Christians are blessed with good jobs and nice families and beautiful homes and good cars and money and prestige. That's not what he's talking about. It doesn't mean that, yes, we get clothing and food and shelter. We get the necessities. We're blessed with those things. Yes, we are. Those are gifts from God. Don't get that wrong. I have what I have because God has said, you can have this. But the rest of the world has those things. They have nice homes, cars. They have good jobs. They have nice families. They have that. That is not the blessing. We are blessed in the exact same way the disciples are blessed. Our sins are forgiven. We know God. That we are blessed. We know God. We know the one who created everything. We just got finished singing about sing to the King. We know the King of all kings for all times, for all ages. We know the King of all kings. We know the Lord of all lords. Do you remember when we were just looking at famous last words when he says, he loves you. Christians, listen to me. He loves us. He loves us. We are at peace with God. If you do not know God, you are not at peace with God. He is not cool with you. We have the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that He gives the apostles. We have it. We have it. We have a place that's being prepared for us in heaven right now. He wouldn't tell us that if He wasn't going to go do that. We have a hope that the world knows nothing of. We have been saved. We've been saved. And one day we're going to be with Him. And we will see Him face to face. And we'll worship Him. We truly have been blessed. That's what He's talking about. We have been blessed. So my encouragement to you Christians, my brothers and my sisters, is we are blessed people. My encouragement to you, if you don't know Christ, is that when He reveals Himself to you, when He shows you who He is, and He brings peace between you and God, and shows you the sacrifice that He has made for your sin, all of these things that you have lined up that you think that God is going to have to do, all the hoops that He's going to have to jump through in order for you to believe, and if not, I will never believe, those will fall away immediately. And you will confess, my Lord, my God. This morning, as we come to an invitation, I'm inviting you, if the Lord is revealing Himself, if He has shown you who He is, come forward and proclaim that. Come forward and say, I know Him. It wasn't what you said, Paul. It's that Christ has revealed Himself to me. He is here with me. I will tell you this right now. The morning that I walked down in seventh grade and I walked down the aisle and presented myself to Brother Dan Gardner, the pastor of the church, I cannot remember one thing he said that morning. Makes me feel good as a pastor. I just knew this, that I had an encounter with Jesus Christ and I was going to go make that known to everyone in that church that I knew Him and He was my Lord and my God. That's what happened. That's what happened. And so this morning, I'm not asking you to come down here and say, I loved everything that you said, Pastor. You may not remember anything I said. But the Lord is here with you, and He has shown you Himself this morning. If you're here this morning and you're doubting, I just don't know, Paul. I just don't know. Give me a call. Man, I would love to go sit down with you and say, tell me, let's ask questions together. Let's find answers together because I want you to know I've been on that journey. I know what that's like. I want to know. I mean, when someone brings up a doubt about the Lord, I'm going, all right, I'm going to go do research. I want to know. And every time I have investigated, every time I have searched, every time I have looked into it, the Lord is who He says He is. And He has done what the Word says He has done. Every single time. So this morning, as we have an invitation, I'm asking you to respond, not to me, but to the Lord. What does He put on your heart? What is He saying to you this morning? Can you proclaim, He is my Lord and my God? Reuben's going to come and lead us. But you need to do business with the Lord this morning. What will you do? How will you respond? I'll be here to receive you. It may be that you're just coming, Paul, I just need to talk to you this week. Let's do that. Let's do it. But it may be that today you came in here an unbeliever, and you're walking out knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.